Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm with Bo Caldwell, CFP, and Chuck Price, founder and author of Investing Simplified, the book, and the number one bestseller, Your Retirement Made Simple. Chuck Price has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investing in retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America with a financial advisor and now a CFP, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and comes to you live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. You can contact Bo or Chuck by visiting PFGWM. Or you can email them with a question at ask@pfgwm.com. Or you can call them right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, the hosts of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. However you may be listening to us today, thanks for making us a part of your day. Happy Saturday to those listening to us live. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, here with you this morning. And in studio, back from the grave, back from his hibernation for tax season, is Kevin Stege, the tax animal. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Bo.
And also back in this week after his week-long hiatus is Chuck Price.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So, Chuck, today we have a very special show today, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about that before we start out.
For those listeners who don't know, Carl Jepsen, our estate planning attorney for the last 10 years on the show, passed away this past April 14th. And we wanted to let our listeners know, and we certainly will be notifying all of our clients as well. But today we're going to kind of honor Carl on the show. We have some music that he's played on the French horn that we're going to be playing from time to time. We're also going to invite any of you listeners or clients of Carl's or friends of Carl's to call into the show and maybe tell about a past memory or something funny that happened in Carl's life. But I did want to let everybody know that there's going to be a celebration of his life on May 4th at 11 a.m. at the Gresham United Methodist Church at 620 Northwest 8th Street, Gresham, Oregon, 97030. And if any of you want to send a card or anything else or an email, you can email me, chuck@pfgwm.com, and you can send it to our office, and we'll get it to his wife, Kathy. Carl had a wife, Kathy, of many years, also had a daughter, Karen, and a grandson, and a son, Robbie. And Carl's going to be very, very missed. Carl and I started the radio show 10 years ago. We were just talking with Kevin, and Kevin joined us about 2 years later, and it's went pretty fast. We actually have a lot of fun on Saturday morning, and we've had a lot of fun.
That's right.
And yeah. Carl had a...
Speaking of which, this is Carl's theme song here, Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
That's the wrong one. Yeah.
That was his theme song for a number of shows, and I think many of you remember that. So that was always a good memory for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That and his car.
That's right, the 67 Cobra. I'm sure he is. He's on the accelerator right now as we speak somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, I imagine he's going down the freeway.
That's right.
So yeah. if you do want to, we're gonna. You know, we really want to make this an upbeat thing because Carl is such a great guy, and he was a. I just can't imagine anybody not liking Carl. Carl was a great guy to work with. I met Carl in the early 90s when we were both on the Gateway Business Association, and we actually got together. I was doing estate planning seminars with another attorney who was retiring. I met Carl at a board meeting. I instantly liked him. We became friends. He became my attorney. We started doing estate planning seminars together. In fact, we probably have done as many estate planning seminars in the Portland area as any other attorney and advisor. And then we gravitated to the radio in 2009, and have been on the radio ever since. So I could tell you personally, from a personal standpoint, it's a big loss because he's a friend and my attorney. And the two people you never want to lose is your attorney or your CPA. I say that because my CPA is sitting here. But the guys who know the most things about you, those are the ones you want to keep around, so you have them for you. So, but anyway, we've had a lot of fun doing the show with Carl. He's got had a great sense of humor. And today you'll get to see a different side of him, or get to hear a different side of him when we play his music.
That's right. That's right. Well, for me, it was a real honor to be counted as one of his friends. He was a guy that had deep waters with him. He spent a lot of time thinking and talking about the deeper things in life, and we had many of those conversations. And one of the I remember one story where coming into the radio show, I had gotten rear-ended on I-84, and as insurance companies do, as we all know, ended up somehow I was to blame for getting rear-ended. We'll leave that story aside. And so I had kind of put my case together. I got all my facts together. And so after a radio show one time, we were talking. I'm like, "Hey, Carl, look at this case here. I mean, I laid it all out, how I had it all buttoned down." And he was just kind of listening to me and nodding his head. And he had that little bit of a smile. And, I'm hoping he's going to step in and, take this thing. And I'll get my settlement. And at the end, he says, "Well, sounds like you're right. But I wouldn't make a federal case out of it." It's just like, so a little bit of wisdom, basically saying, there's more to life than following this all the way through, and you need to decide if you want to do that. And sure enough, it was the right call.
One of the things I always remember too about him is that I would be taking a week off, which I did as often as I could, and I'd come back, and Carl would call me and tell me that he said, "Hey, I just want you to know on the show, we said that you were guaranteeing a 10% return on investment."
That's right.
"And you're going to guarantee it personally." And I said, "What?"
That's right.
And after the first time he told me, I realized he was giving me a bad time. But that's not a great feeling if you're in our business to have somebody guarantee anything. And so, but he had a great sense of humor.
That's right.
He really did. No question about it.
So that's where that started. Was Carl was the one who was guaranteeing that? Because people ask me all the time, where did the guarantee?
Yeah, it was Carl. It was Carl's fault. I had to blame my attorney.
Yeah.
I told him. I said, the thing about that, Carl, if you do that, you're the guy that's going to have to defend me in court. So if I get litigated, you're going to be the guy that's going to back up that 10%.
Well, that's why he passed it off to Kevin. So now Kevin's the one making the claims because he's not a lawyer, so he doesn't have to.
I noticed Kevin ain't making no claims.
This is true.
For sure.
This is true. Well, if you have any thoughts or anything you want to share with Carl, our phone number is 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. And we are going to have our regular segments here. And if you do have your normal tax or financial questions.
If you got a question, there's no foolish question when it comes to your money. So if you got a question about investing, you got a question about taxes, it's just that we don't have anybody here to answer the legal question, but we can wing it and get you the right answer next week. But for that standpoint, we just wanted to let you know, let all of our listeners know that Carl did pass away and when the services are going to be. I think we got a caller on the line.
Yeah, it looks like Lee wanted to give a shout out to Carl. Lee, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Very sorry to hear about Carl. I loved his wry sense of humor. I've called in several times and with some questions. As you may recall, I'm the executor of my dad's estate, and Carl had I've still got written down in my little three-ring binder a couple lists that he gave. One of them was 10 reasons to use a professional trustee rather than a family member. So I'm keeping those in mind as I do this and trying to act like a professional.
Right.
But my condolences to you guys for your loss and his family. I did have written down here a note. What was it? The car he'd always talked about, the 67 Shelby Cobra.
That's right.
Yep. That's it.
Something like that. Well, my dad's estate isn't that big, but I did have a note written down to set aside some money for Carl for a 67 Volkswagen Beetle. That's about as good as I can do. But again, sorry. The show is, well, you guys do a great job, but obviously there'll be a loss from his passing. So,
yeah, thank you, Lee.
My condolences to all of you, and thanks.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks.
Hey, you know, that 67 Beetle's worth a little bit of coin right now.
Probably is.
That was actually my first car was a 67 Beetle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but when I turned 16.
The one I've got set aside. It's pretty beat up, but you probably would have liked it.
It might be the same one that I had, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks,
great,
Lee.
Thanks, Lee. We've got another caller on the line.
Yeah, it looks like Jim, who grew up with Carl. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Hey, is this Jim from the South Salem area?
Well, actually, I was North Salem with Carl. We went to Englewood Grade School together.
Okay.
And I have nothing but fond memories of our childhood. We spent hours and hours at a field called Barrick Field, and there were two sports in North Salem. One was football and one was baseball. And Carl was a very good athlete, but as time went on, he chose not to play football because of something you had mentioned, the French horn. If he had gotten hit in the mouth, it would have changed if he scarred his lips or something. I always found that amusing because he was a great athlete, but he chose music over sports. But we had a charmed childhood. There were a half dozen of us that would play football and baseball together year-round. And it broke my heart last week when one of our friends, Jim Stifler, told me Carl passed away. And the way I kept in touch with Carl, I didn't talk to him ever, but I'd listen to your show. And it really was a sad day when I heard about his passing. So my sympathies to you guys and his family. And he was a great guy. And Salem will miss Carl because he definitely had an imprint upon the Barrick area where we grew up. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for sharing those memories, Jim. We really appreciate it. And it looks like Henry, a longtime listener and a caller, had tried to call, and it looks like Michael accidentally hung up on him. So we do have another caller. Looks like David is on the line. David?
Yeah, good morning. I just want to share a little bit with my experience with Carl. Wonderful person. I met him, you know, it was 10 years ago, a little bit longer than that. I was heading off to Iraq, and he did a will for me and my wife, and we just instantly became friends. And while in Iraq, it was obviously very depressing at times, and he would send me pictures of seagulls on the coast. And I was sitting on the Syrian border where there was just sand, heat, and dirt. And I thought that meant a lot, and he stayed in communication with me. And when I got back, before my second tour, we just locked up friendship. And then when I got back permanently, part of a business association with him, and we just continued, our friendship grew, and we'd smoke cigars together and go shooting. One time we went shooting at a indoor range, and my wife was with us. And Carl, my wife, shot, and my Carl looks at her target and says, "She shoots better than you. Quite a bit better than you. Is this typical of Army?" He was
spoken like a true Air Force JAG guy, you know, as Carl was.
Yeah. I truly miss him, and there hasn't been a day that's gone by I haven't thought about him. So, very special person. You get very few people like Carl in a person's lifetime. So, the world is not a better place without him. So,
oh, absolutely. And David, you'll be happy to know we have, we're going to be playing some of his music from his French horn.
And he was working on playing the piano as well.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, Carl was a very talented guy in a lot of different areas. And in fact, his wife and daughter also play instruments. In fact, on the CD we have, they're all on there playing.
That's
so
wonderful.
They're very talented.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for calling, David, and thank you again for your service.
Thank you. Bye.
So we also have, so Henry was able to get back connected, looks like. So Henry, looks like you had a question and also maybe a remembrance for Carl.
Yes. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Henry, how are you doing?
Hi, fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good.
I would like to credit Carl with a call back almost the next day when I had an involved estate question, and he was a prince of a man. He said, he admitted to me that he wasn't really well-versed in Washington estate law. He knew about it. He was licensed, but he wasn't an expert in it, and shared some other names. And to his credit, that's magnificent.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's hard to find folks that won't try to, you know, grandstand, or what's the word I'm looking for? You know, what do they do in the Senate where they're, I can't think of the word, but who won't pretend like they do, you know, they know more than they do, and then find out the answer later. It is rare to find folks that are going to filibuster. Thanks, Kevin. That's the word I was looking for. They won't filibuster till they can figure it out. It's a testament to Carl that he would admit, hey, I know enough to be dangerous. Here's what I do know, but I can find that out for you.
Right. And I do have a question
for
you. I don't know if it's appropriate for you to answer a question about purchasing stock, but if you feel you'd like to take the question, I'd like to ask it, please.
Absolutely.
My wife and I want to buy some stock for our grandchildren. Two of them are graduating here in the months of May and June.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
One from college, one from high school. And we want to try and buy some stock. So we contacted a big stock company back east, and they said, well, what's their age? Well, they're adults. They're 18 and over.
Mm-hmm.
One's 18, one's 20. And so you can't do it. You have to have their signature. They have to buy it. Do you guys have a way for Grandma and Grandpa to buy that?
Yeah, well, you could.
Over email. It was 67 pages. My little home printer would probably burn up trying to print that.
Well, do you have a living trust?
Yes.
Okay. What you could do is you could buy the stock, you and your wife, make a special amendment in your trust that those shares that you bought for them go to them upon your death. Then, in some time in the future, should you decide to give it to them, you can turn around and give it to them. And probably the gift would be basically tax-free. As a gift to them. Now, if you're gonna pass the cost basis on, Kevin, we'll talk about that. But you could buy the stock, you and your wife, name them as the beneficiary in your trust, and should something happen to the two of you, that stock goes to them. Well, when that stock goes to them upon your death, it gets a stepped up basis. It would go to them tax free, basically. And then if you give it to them, though, then there could be some taxation on the sale. But you can still gift it to them later on if you want to. But that's the way to do it without them having to sign paperwork and actually take control of it. And then if sometime, let's say 3 years from now, the stock's grown and they want to buy a house or need some money for a down payment, you can turn around and give them the stock. You can cash it in. Get the capital gains treatment. Maybe, well, right now about $78,000 is tax-free, so you probably get some tax-free income on the sale of the stock and give them the cash.
Yeah, you can also, so they are correct that the kids will have to sign paperwork to open an account for them. But like Chuck said, if you want to buy it in the trust so it goes later, or if your thought was it was more of a graduation present, you wanted to buy them some stock, you can do that. If you have identified the stock and say, hey, we want to buy you 10 shares of Microsoft, for example. So you can buy the Microsoft stock, like Chuck mentioned, if you buy it in the brokerage account where you buy your own stocks, then tell them, hey, we've bought this stock for you. We want to give it to you as a graduation present. You need to go down to, a local office around here. If they work with a stock person, maybe a financial advisor that's near them, say, hey, you need to go open an account with them, and then we can transfer in the stock. And then it's a gift, which is what, $15,000 a year right now, Kevin, is tax free. So as long as it's below that limit, you can give them the stock without a taxable event.
What I heard Chuck say, that I need to have a special addition to our living trust.
Well, if you were going to own it and give it to them upon your death or later, that's how I do it, through the trust. But what Bo's saying is you could do it quickly and easily that way and actually give them the stock certificate and then let them have the future capital gain on it. So you could do it either way, whatever is easiest for you to do. But there's no question that if you buy them the stock in a brokerage account, they're going to have to fill out paperwork.
Right. But
if you want to eliminate the paperwork, you could just do it in your trust and give it to them upon your death or whenever.
Right, but
you
they'd
want
have to still open an account at that point, right?
If they passed away and got it taxed, cash it out.
Oh, right, if they sold it, right.
Yeah. So for depending on what they're going to do with it, but it all depends on how you want to give them the gift. If like Bo said, if you want to give them the stock certificates, you're going to have to buy the stock either in your brokerage account and show them the stock certificates and then have them set up a brokerage account and transfer it to them, or buy the stock and keep it and pass it to them when you pass away or when you decide you want to give it to them. As far, when I say give it to them as ownership. You can still tell them, hey, I have this in my trust, and I've got the same example Bo was saying. You got 10 shares of Microsoft. I bought you 10 shares of Microsoft, and upon my death, you're going to inherit these shares.
But you'd have to do an addendum.
About that. Let's say it's Microsoft. We'll use that as a good example.
Sure.
Let's say I already own Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't the company want to lump the two Microsofts together? Any additional?
You can just do an addendum to your trust that says X number of shares goes to this child, X number of shares goes to that child, and that would split out. That would determine who would get what.
Or I think that the other question may be what it sounds like Henry's wondering, using that as an example, if you bought them in your own current brokerage account, would they lump them together? They might if you bought them in the same account, so it'd say now you have 20 shares of Microsoft, but they would have separate cost basis, and when you, as long as you're tracking that or working with your CPA to track that, you can transfer specific shares.
That's right.
To, if you said, hey, I want to have those specific shares go to my grandkids, or you also could have them open a separate account just for, we have clients that do that a lot with bank accounts, where they'll have a joint bank account that they open that's mentally accounted for their grandkids, even though it's not in the grandkids' name. They say, hey, I'm saving money here for my kids or for my grandkids, but it's still in their name. That way they avoid the gifting issues or any of those taxable issues. Does that kind of make sense, maybe?
Yes. I like the word maybe at the end of that. Yeah, you presented several scenarios.
Sure.
To do an addendum to the trust involves the trust attorney then.
Right. Yep.
And
So if you're not, the key is, Chuck mentioned, if you're thinking about doing it when you pass away, that's where the addendum to the trust comes in. And you would do that because in that example, we're doing 10 shares of Microsoft that's worth $100 today, but in 10 years might be worth $500. And you don't want the kids to have to pay that capital gain difference, because when you gift stock, the cost basis goes with it. So you don't get a step up, whereas when you pass away, you get a step up in that cost basis. So the kids get to take it over at the $500 level. If they then sell it, there's no taxable event. That's the difference, is if you want to give it now or give it later. If you want to give it now, you don't have to deal with the trust. If you want to give it later, that's when you put it the addendum in the trust.
And at our death, the step up occurs.
Yep.
Yeah, then it's a tax-free gift. And I think right now Microsoft's about $129 a share. And the only reason I mention is I happened to be watching yesterday Stuart Varney on Business Fox News, and one of the guys on there came out and said that he predicts that by the end of this year, next year, Microsoft will be $200 a share. So that's not a bad stock to be buying as a gift for a kid, because if it goes up almost 40%, that's pretty good return.
Right. Okay, Henry. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
For the question. Thanks for the remembrances of Carl. We're going to take a break here, but before we go into break, we're going to play a little bit of Carl's music. That's what you'll hear behind us. We'll be back here in just a minute with Investing Simplified.
Concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Again, that music you heard on the play out to our break was the late, great Carl Jepsen playing on the French horn. We will be playing his music in and out of breaks today in remembrance of Carl. We are very sad to have lost him. If you do have remembrances or memories you'd like to share about Carl, give us a call. 503-417-9595. You can also give us a call and ask your tax questions, your investing questions, your estate planning questions. We will do our best to answer them as best we can. If we don't know the answer, we will get back to you. You can also go to investingsimplifiedradio.com and send a question in via text. But I thought in honor of your first day back from tax season that we ought to spend some time with the tax investigator, Kevin. Does that sound... We've moved on to the taxed animal.
To see if you're really able to even talk about anything but taxes.
Yeah, well, the tax investigator became the tax animal, became the tax yeti around March 15th, became much worse after that. So we won't, the tax donkey, and yeah, it just degraded from there. So
I could think of other words I probably heard about you, exactly. But I won't go into those right now.
Exactly. That's. I told one client, I said, you need to get your stuff in earlier next year for one reason alone, so you don't have to deal with me in March and April, because you don't want to deal with me in March and April. There we go. So, well, I just wanted to, I will talk a little bit on taxes here. One thing I think I'm going to miss the most is every Saturday that we had the show regarding Carl here, one thing I'm going to miss the most is no matter how early I showed up to the studio, Carl was always here first, and he was always cheery, always unflappable, and I'm going to miss that. Well, hello, when we come around the corner, and he's got his top 10 list and stuff. So just like you said at the beginning, Chuck, how much fun we really have doing this show together, and just the memories and stuff. Of course, I wasn't part of the infamous Bailey's Irish Cream.
We probably episode. Really shouldn't talk about that.
Well, okay.
Actually, I will tell this story because we were at a different station, and Carl and I actually started, like I said, Wednesday afternoons, 4 to 5 drive time, and one time. The station manager came in, and we were kind of celebrating. We had been there, I think, about a year.
Oh, and it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day,
that's
correct,
right.
Yeah. And he came in, and Carl, being an Irishman, we decided to have a little Irish whiskey. And both of us, about 2 minutes into the show, realized we shouldn't have drank that in the afternoon before we went on the air, because even though it wasn't a lot, we both hadn't eaten anything all day, I mean, except for lunch. We had lunch, and then we're there at 4 o'clock. And we probably had a little bit of a slurry show that show.
Yeah. I'd like to get a copy of that, but I believe all copies have been destroyed.
I guarantee you they've been destroyed, yeah.
That's right.
But, we had a lot of fun. I mean, I could talk all day about things that happened, but we've had a lot of fun. And Carl was just – he had a great – sense of humor, and he also had great timing with his sense of humor. So
yes, he did. Yeah, well, he was a man of peace. He had made peace with his creator, and because of that, the last I saw him, he was at peace. I had a chance to visit him in his last days, and he is in he's at peace right now. So. Godspeed to you, my friend Carl. So I thought I would just talk a little bit about my perspective on what the tax law changes have done. There's a lot of news articles out there, and it's hard to know what's in op-ed and what is truth in our news articles we're reading, and what someone's opinion and what someone's trying to make you believe and stuff, and all of that. And, you know, I don't have a handle on exactly how this tax law change has affected everybody or what.
Wait, you're not omniscient?
That's right.
You don't know everything?
Well, just barely.
Man, I'm
just
disappointed.
Barely. I need one more week. Give me a week. So, but in general, what I've seen with the tax law changes and how it's affected folks and, you know, oh, our refunds are more or less, in general, and I've said this before, and I think it holds true, the states that had folks with high state tax deductions, they got, I'm going to say the word hurt, but I would say more brought even with everybody else around the country. In other words, somebody in Washington was paying higher federal income tax than someone in Oregon because the Oregonian got the benefit of a large state tax deduction because we have larger deductible state taxes. And so now that just evened the playing field across the nation. So in general, a lot of retirees or fixed income people, depending on your standard deduction versus your itemized deductions, there may have been a tweak in your taxes, 500 this way, 500 that way, maybe 1,000 this way or that way, depending on your income. Obviously, we saw some benefits to businesses, small businesses, people who had either middle to lower income from businesses, they got the 20% deduction, or if you were a more successful business, you had to be paying out good wages to folks, and then you got the 20% deduction. So really, a good, you know, business president, I guess you'd expect some favor to businesses, and you know, whatever your political perspective is on that, I think that's a good thing personally. And that's neither here nor there, but that's what I've seen there. I have seen a segment of people that got hurt, if you will, significantly by the new tax law changes, and that is my ultra wealthy clients. There's just no way when you have you pay $100,000 in Oregon income tax, and that's capped at $10,000, your deduction. There's just no way to make up for that. And so the ultra wealthy have paid significantly more through this. And that's what I've seen just in my cross segment of at our firm of, you know, several thousand clients. So
that makes sense. I mean, you know, and that's what you would say. You were mentioning, it's worth mentioning, that happens as a, in the states that have a high state income tax, mm-hmm. is really where you're seeing the most of it, which is, unfortunately for the Oregonians in the audience, is us.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess the bliss we've had all these years paying lower taxes now kind of goes away a little bit.
And us Washingtonians say hallelujah.
That's right. That's right.
So, and did you have experience, the folks that I've talked to who had issues with different taxing, a lot of it was under withholding.
Exactly. And that's the other maybe perception or misperception or planning. If I were to take a person with $100,000 of income and run those numbers in my 2017 tax program and run the exact same numbers in 2018, for the most part, somebody's looking at a lower tax liability. But when you factor in the withholding tables, where instead of having maybe, you know, 10 grand of withholding, when they lowered those withholding amounts and gave you more money back during the year, you know, your refund's going to be less. So that's to be expected, but sometimes not necessarily planned for. And the unexpected, when you're used to your tax situation being a certain way and it's all changed. Most significant sweeping tax law changes in 30 years and probably even more than that. So change, nobody likes change, especially we accountants, but we had to deal with it. So deal with it, right? I'm talking to myself.
When it comes to the IRS, you really don't have a choice.
That's, I mean, right. You know,
it's not a voluntary situation.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and I saw a friend of mine had posted on social media something that someone had come up with that said, you know, the basics of taxes, which was, you know, it's a, you know, me talking to the IRS and I say, well, how much do I owe? And the IRS says, well, you have to figure that out. And then I say, well, so I pay what I want? And they say, no, we know exactly how much you have to pay. We're just not going to tell you. And then I say, well, what if I don't pay? Then you go to jail. So that just kind of, you know, that's kind of how it feels, I think, for most people.
That's better than the old one we used to have. We used to say, how do you file your tax return? You write down how much your income did you have, send that to the government, and you're done.
That's right. That's right. The misconception in yours is that the IRS knows how much you have to pay.
Yeah. Right,
they're
right.
Even trying to figure it out.
Right.
So I had a reason to call the IRS practitioners hotline. This is a special backdoor green phone where we get into
I knew you were connected.
The deeper levels to get real answers to real questions in a real hurry. And about 2 minutes into my conversation, after being on hold for not too long, maybe half hour.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't. The IRS agent says, man, I wish they hadn't taken Google away from us. So anyway, Google's everyone's friend, but even they have to do some research, and sometimes Google's...
Well, especially as everything's changing, right? That's the experience that I've noticed with the new tax law and with all the different ins and outs with you talking about small businesses, or every CPA that I've talked to, a lot of times they're saying, well, our firm is operating on this basis, or we think, because it's so cloudy that, you know, the Internal Revenue Code, people don't, unless you're in the field, they don't know how just, I mean, ridiculously thick and complex, and, you know, it is. That's what, for those of you that don't know, that's when you say I have a 401k, that's because of section 401k of the Internal Revenue Code, which is just
huge
insanity that's exactly. You know, that they have that many sections. But I feel like it's an interesting time to be a CPA right now, with, you know, sort of trying to figure your way through it as the IRS figures their way through it as well.
Yep, that's right. I picture us here in this room as like a doctor's office, and, you know, I specialize on one small part of the body. You guys specialize on a different part of the body. Carl and the attorney specialize in another part, and you kind of need that anymore in this segment, because nobody can know it all. And even in our industry, accountants really need to focus on certain sections. Sure. You know, there's people that just specialize in retirement plans in the tax and accounting section. There's people that specialize in estate and trust taxation. There's so many nuances that that's a good way to go. So
perfect. So it's actually excellent timing. It looks like Marianne's on the phone with a tax question. So good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. I have a tax situation that I've known was going to happen. A 1095A for Marketplace was incorrect when issued. And so I knew we would have to go get it corrected, which we did. And the correction didn't come through until after April 15th. So we went ahead and filed. And now I think it's appropriate, evidently, to amend. And I might say, too, we did this through TurboTax. And I have the forms all filled out with TurboTax for the amendment. And I'm wondering what needs to go with it, a copy of the 1095A and perhaps the 8962?
Well, I have to hand it to you. You probably have a job at any tax prep firm that you want with that level of detail. First of all, knowing that your 1095A is incorrect, kudos to you on that. That's pretty good. To answer your question, you on your 1040X amended return, you attach your new paper copy of your revised 1040, I believe, behind that and any schedules that changed. And since it's a paper copy, it doesn't hurt to add in the new 1095A. Of course, on page 2 of your 1040X, you'll be disclosing what the amendment's for. And if you want to refer to an attachment, that, you know, helps paint the picture even better. You know, IRS is... a human is going to be processing this, so the best that you can lay it out to them, yes, I'm calling them human, yes, the best you can lay it out to them to be able to process and understand what's going on is good. So that's what I would do.
Okay. 1040, a new 1040 is necessary to go with it also?
I believe so. Yep, the new what it would look like under the new with the revised 1095A. Correct.
Okay, the 1040X is not sufficient for that purpose.
We tend to attach the 1040 and all the schedules that have changed.
Okay, it's just the one.
Yep.
Problem with us.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Another question. I've called IRS twice in regards to this. And the first representative, actually, it's my son's return. And so the first time I called, they couldn't talk to me without his permission, mm-hmm. which the way it is. And so then we called back, and I got a representative that was very cocky, very belligerent, I thought. And anyway, he was in disagreement of giving any. He would not give me any information. He told me to go to the website. Which I find difficult to understand all the garble. And so, but the first representative told me that if the IRS has a copy of the corrected 1095A, that it would cut down the length of time of getting the whole thing to go through. Okay. And he disagreed with that 100%. So do you know anything about that? Do they get copies of the 1095 and the 10 and the corrected one?
That's right. That's why those 1090X forms are sent out. They're sent to the IRS. They're sent to the taxpayer so they can be matched up.
Right, right. So is there anything about that the IRS could shorten the length of time of actually getting a refund?
No, it's going to take 4 to 6 months for them to process it regardless. Just put the best story you can together on your package that you mail in and make it clear. And the delay is just going to be in their processing time. So it'll be the same no matter what. This doesn't sound to me like a big amendment, something they need to worry about. They'll have the new info. So sooner you can mail it, the better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like I'm doing it right then.
You are.
Sounds like you're way ahead of most folks who are doing their self-tax prep. Kevin was, as you were describing the problem, he was very impressed. He wasn't blowing smoke right there. He was very impressed with your diligence and with the fact that you had all that done. So
thank you for
calling, Marianne. Thank you for the question. We're going to take one quick break here because I'd like to get some more of Carl's music played for y'all to listen to in remembrance of him. And we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
This is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, here's Chuck Price and Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you may be listening, thanks again for being part of our show. We have been remembering all day today our friend Carl Jepsen and longtime co-host who passed away this past month, and we do miss him dearly. That was his music that he played on the French horn as we went in and out of the break there. We wanted to finish up the show today, Chuck, kind of talking a little bit about an update to the market, and you and Kevin were just discussing the national debt, which we all know, longtime listeners, that's a difficult word to say apparently, longtime listeners to the show have followed, you following the national debt as a big, as a big problem for our country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just mentioning to Kevin with the GDP at 3.2, which just came out this past week. I've been following the deficit every week. I report it, and if you get our newsletter, I send that out. And the national debt as of 4/26 at 8:40 last night was $22.24 trillion. Now that's a lot of dinero, any way you want to point it. But here's the thing: it is actually slowing down. The rate of national debt is slowing down. That's good news. That's good news for the government. That's good news for you and I. But the government still needs to take that next step. We've increased revenues because at this point in time, we have more Americans working than in any time in history. There are more jobs, over a million more jobs than people to work them. So this is really great for the economy. So anybody who really wants to get a job, there's jobs out there. You may not want to get the pay that is paying, so you go get another job. But there are plenty of jobs, and for young people coming into the market, getting out of school, this is one of the greatest opportunities in American history, that you can go find a good paying job and get a good career. But I got to tell you, the stock market has been virtually on fire since January 4th. And I can tell you right now, the S&P for the year to date as of 4/26, the S&P is up 17.28%. The Dow Jones is up 13.79%. So I got to tell you, these are really great numbers. Now, after the crappy October and December, we needed some good numbers because the market really got smacked in October, and then December was the worst December since 1901. So we needed to have a great January, and we did. We had one of the greatest Januaries in all of history. So here's the thing. If you're an investor and you're investing in the stock market, the stock portfolio you should be investing in is long-term. It's long-term because you're going to be in the market. Do not be concerned with short-term fluctuation, and here's why. And I've been doing this for a long time. Most people who retire, and let's say you retire at 65 or even 70, the odds are you're going to be around, or one of you, if you're a married couple, one of you is going to be around 22 to 25 years. That's a long, long time to be drawing off your retirement income. So do not get short-term anxiousness because your portfolio may not be performing or your investments may not be performing up to the market. You have to sometimes give them a chance to catch up because some lag behind other things. And so you really have to look at your overall portfolio and what your long-term objectives are with that portfolio. And if you get short-sightedness on investing, I guarantee you, you will get taken to lunch one day. So don't get short-term and don't get chasing rates. Chase a strategy. If you have a strategy that has worked long-term, you stay with that strategy. And that's one of the things, Bo, we do at our office is we have a strategy for our clients. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're 100% right all the time because we're not. Nobody is. But over the long haul, our strategy works in good and bad markets. It may not work as good as, you know, we want it to sometimes. I'd rather be making more than less. But again, over time, it works. And that's the main thing. You want to have a strategy that over time works. And listen, when the market's doing this well, if we go back to the turn of the century, back to 12/31/99, the S&P is up only 5.46% per year. So we're blowing that out of the water in the first quarter. And if you look at the NASDAQ since 12/31/99 is only up 5.47%. If you told somebody that 20 years ago that the NASDAQ, after the turn of the century, is gonna be at 5.4% a year, you get laughed out of the place. Your advisor would laugh at you. And the Dow Jones, if we go back to 12/31/99, is up 7.14. It's interesting. And I've been saying this on the show for the last 3-4 years. The Dow Jones, the big old sluggish stocks, are kicking the crap out of the NASDAQ and the S&P. The S&P 500 growth, NASDAQ is virtually all high tech, high risk, lower stocks. So you would think over 20 years, or well, 18 years, 19 years now, we're the 19th year, you would think they would be outperforming the big sluggish stocks, but it's not happening.
Yeah, you think that maybe that has something to do with, you know, just lack of volatility. We talk about that a little bit in our practice. We try to get folks to have the roller coaster ride. I used this analogy last week on the show when you guys were gone, rude.
Relaxing. But,
yeah. I don't think Kevin was
sleeping
relaxing.
In.
Kevin was yeah. Kevin was passed out just recovering from tax time. But it could be, you know, taking that conflict out of the portfolio, making sure your roller coaster of your portfolio, if you're not a Matterhorn person, making sure you're a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride person, then you get to be on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride to kind of keep it a little bit smoother. And it might be that's why it's up so much, as it's not experiencing the ups and the downs. It's more just slower growth. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to invest in. So, Chuck, we had a couple of folks have asked if you could give the details for the funeral coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
A couple of folks have called in and asked.
Yep. This is going to be at Gresham United Methodist Church, located at 620 Northwest 8th Street, Gresham, Oregon, 97030, and it's going to be on Saturday, May 4th at 11 a.m.
So if you'd like to come and pay your remembrances to Chuck, or to Chuck, excuse me, wait, I'm selling you out early, to Carl. If you want to pay your remembrances to Carl, we know that he would appreciate all the thoughts. We've had thoughts come in over the text line and over the phone, and we really appreciate it. Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you?
We're at 503-666-5569, and we're at baker-colson.com.
And Chuck, people can get a hold of us at 503-253-3000 or at ask@pfgwm.com, or you can visit our website, pfgwm.com. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for paying your remembrances to our friend Carl. To know Carl was to root for Carl. To know him was to be treated like family and like a friend. So we'll miss you, buddy. You know, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for welcoming me in. You're listening to Investing Simplified. God bless you all.
God bless you all. Price Financial Group,
Wealth Management. Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.